Okay, today's shir is a Zecher Nishmas for Mrs. Hachhauser's grandmother, it's her 34th Yahrzeit, and her name is Fagel Bas Harav Shabsi, somebody who went through the Holocaust and survived and went on to raise a family, and it's a great schutz for us to make a shir in her Zecher Nishmas. So we have a minig that when we miss a week, we try and say something from the previous week. And since we were at the Agudah convention, so of course there's many good things to say, Baruch Hashem. So I heard from Dayan Abraham. Dayan Yonason Abraham is a wonderful, wonderful speaker. He spoke 8 times at the convention. We kept him very busy, Baruch Hashem. But everything he said was Pem Mapik Margolius. Everything he said was just wonderful. Okay. Yeah, so he's Pem Mapik Margolius, and he said like this. Just I'll say 1 or 2 things that I remember. V'yetzi Yaakov v'be'er shova v'eilech harona. We will get to this week's Sunday. We just want to say 2 things from last week. It says v'yivka b'moka v'yolam shom kivah Hashemesh. He slept over there because the sun went down. V'yikach me'avnei hamokam, and he took from the stones of the place. So it's mashman that there are multiple stones, right? Now if you take a look in Pasuk Ches, it says v'yikach es ha'evin, and he took the stone. So Rashi says, how did many stones become to one stone? So he says that this happened because all the stones wanted to have, the tzaddik should be on my head, the tzaddik should lay his head on us. So therefore the stones came together. So the question is, why did the Torah mention this particular nes? We don't mention Ur Kasdim. We don't mention so many nisim that happened to Avraham Avinu. And this Sansara, a few we do, some we don't. Why did we mention this particular nace of stones becoming one stone? What's its significance over here? So he said something from the Maral. The Maral often talks about numbers and their significance in Yiddishkeit. And he says the number 2 is a number that tells about Piru, separating things. Things are apart. Like you find the second day of the creation, it doesn't say kitayv, because something which is separated is not good, because if you have 2 things, they don't connect with each other. If one's on top of the other one, he's on top. But if it's by the side, they're not together. The first number that connotes something which is together is 3. Because when you have 3, you already have a permanence. Chut ha-meshulosh lo b'mher yinotek. A threefold cord doesn't tear so easily. Right? Al shloisha devarim ha'olam aymed. The world is on 3 things. So many things we have 3. What?
For benching, mezumin.
Right? Oh, very good. Benching, you have mezumin. We could probably sit the rest of the shir and talk about 3, the number 3. Have all sorts of interesting things. But the avos are also 3. What's the pshat? So he says, it's telling us that Yaakov Avinu wasn't just the 3rd av chronologically. It didn't just have to show up 3rd, like Avram was 1st, Yitzchak was 2nd, so Yaakov's 3rd. No. Yaakov was the one who made 3, who made something that could be a kiyum. If you have a chair and you have 2 legs to the chair can't stand up. The minimum number you need to stand up a chair is 3. Right? A footstool even has 3 lechatchila. But 3 is what makes it last. So therefore, we're in Parshas Vayishlach Tovshin Ayin Ches. Start? Go back on? Okay. Tovshin Ayin Ches. Mitzvah Hashem. Welcome everybody. We were offline a little bit. So we'll go back and say, we're asking the question why it says Mei Avnei Hamok and then Evan. What is the union of the Evan? Why do we put it together? To show the concept that 3 things or more connote permanence, connote something which is together. So Yaakov Avinu, by being the 3rd of, was not just the 3rd of, because he happened to be the number 3 chronologically, but he was the one who cemented the concept of us. So it says, Ein Avos Ela Shloisha, there are 3 of us, because they're the ones who represent that. And that's what Yaakov Avinu gave to us. Yaakov Avinu gave that permanence of an Av. He was the one, the Bechir Sheba Avos, who made all the Avos into a concept of what we call the Avos. And that's, he talked about the concept of being together. The theme of the convention was, together we will. So he was talking about how important it is that we can only accomplish, we can only have a continuity, we can only have a permanence if we're together. If we're apart from each other, we cannot accomplish as much. And that's really the lesson. That's why the Evan, that Nace was specifically mentioned, to show that this is the beginning of Yaakov. This is where Yaakov Avinu has the permanence of the concept of us. Second thing he said, it says that Vayachlam, and he had the Nesulamuts of Arts of Rosh Magia Shemaimah, the Malachi Elohim, Eilam Yardim Bayit. There was angels going up and down the ladder. Okay? So he asked the question, how many wings does an angel have? Does anybody know?
How many what?
Six, right. An angel has six wings, right?
Oh.
Angel can fly. Why did an angel need a ladder to go up and down? Let him just, flap his wings and go up. What's the reason for the ladder? So he said a beautiful concept. He said, when it comes to ruchnius, when it comes to spirituality, you have to go one step at a time. Don't think that you can just say, today I'm going to be a Talmud Chacham, today I'm going to be a Tzaddik, a Tzaddikus, that's it. You should know it takes time to walk up the steps. And when it comes to ruchnius, you always have to go just one step at a time. And that's the lesson.
If you go down, you look up.
And you go, right, right. If you look down, you get scared. Okay, now let's go to our parsha. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim lefonav el Esav Achiv Arza Seir Sdei Edom. And Yaakov sent Malachim to Esav. Vayitzav Asam Lamer Kaysom el Esav. And we have the whole speech that he gave. And then the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Ches, Vayira Yaakov Me'oid V'yetzer Lai. And he became very afraid. Vayachet es om asher ito vesatzoin vesaboker vagmalim l'shnei machnois. He made two camps. So we're going to ask the question, first of all, who was in these two camps? It doesn't say anywhere, Rashi, Torah, which group went into camp A and which group went into camp B? How does that work? And truth is, what is he worried about? That Esav is going to come and he's going to fight with him. Rashi says, Ve'lochem boy, and I'll be with camp one, says Rashi, I'm going to be in camp one, I'm going to fight with him. Who says that Esav can't, then if he, Chas v'Shalom, kills Yaakov, can't go after the second camp? Esav, remember, has all these horsemen. They just have women and children. So who's fighting with them? So what was his kavanah? Second question, which is even a harder question, is what happened to the Shnei Machanos? If you take a look in the next, on page 97, in Perek Lamed Gimel, we'll talk more about that later, it says, Vayisa Yaakov Vayar, Vinei Esav Bov, Imo Arba Meos Ish, he has 400 men, repeats it, Vayachetz Esa Yolodim Al Leah, Val Rachov Al Shnei Ashvachos, Vayasim Esa Shvachos Ves Yildeim Rishonim, he puts the Shvachais and their children first, Ves Leah Yuladeh Achrayim, and Leah and her children afterwards, Ves Rach Ves Yosef Achrayim. How does that sound? That sounds like one machna. So where did the two machnas go? At the beginning it says he made two camps, and it's not clear what the two camps are. And then he comes along and he says, it's one camp. So number one, what was the two camps? Two is, where did the two camps go? And Mitzvah Shem, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but first we're going to deal with the different question. It says in the Pasuk, in Pasuk Beis, Vayosim es HaShvachos, that how did he line them up to go to meet Esav? First he put Zilpah and Bilhah and their children, Ves Yaldei Rishayna, Ves Leah V'Yiladeh, right? And then after is Leah, Ves Rachel Ves Yosef Achrayim, after that, Rachel and Yosef. So it seems that how did he line them up? According to how much he loved them. How choshev they were to him. So first come the Shvachas, then come Leah and her kids, and then come Rachel and her kids.
No fighting. They didn't fight between them. Why me? Why?
Oh, very good. You grabbed the kasha. Okay. Listen to this. This is something that Mamash turned me upside down when I saw this. You'll see. Good question. It says, Ketzav Yochel Av Linu Kach Bebanav. How can a father do that with his children? Lahatzman es aben ha'echad olarchiko min ha'sakana? That you take one over the other one? You know, if I was the first one, I'd say, Abba, why am I the first one to go? How does that work? B'shoa shar ha'achim hu matzav chasufim u'gluyim l'sakana sachayim. How do you do one in front of the other? To say, because I love one more than the other, I'm going to put him in sakana, what kind of parent does that? A parent has to love all the children equally. A parent has to look after all the children equally. So how is that Yaakov did it according to this order? So listen to an answer from Rishach, a genius answer. So he says like this. He says that Rishach was known that when people used to come to him to pour out their tzaras, and they tell him, I have this pain, and that yisurim, and that problem, and so on, He says a thread that ran through all of his brachas and all of his letters is that you should cherish Yisurim. You should cherish that. Because the emes is that that's an offset, so to speak, for many, many averus. And that's going to get you much higher up when it comes to the Olam Emes, which is the permanent world. It's going to get you a lot higher than you were before. So cherish those yisurim. You don't have to ask for them. And we have a brach, you shouldn't have them. But once you already have them, don't clog them. Don't say, oy vey, I wish I didn't have it. Say, if Hashem gave it to me, it's ultimately for my benefit. I know Rav Victor Miller used to say that if you have a toothache, and you go to the dentist, and he fixes your toothache, you wasted a great opportunity. Because when you had the toothache, you should be davening to Hashem, oy Hashem, I'm in such pain, help me in all my tzaras, help my pain offset all my other issues. Instead, you just got it fixed, so you lost it. So he says, in Sedra Shach, if you have Yisurim, cherish those Yisurim, that they can help you in the time, in loss of love, and like we said, they're an offset to other things. So he tells over that Reb Chaim Kanievsky tells a story that there was once a kid who somehow got in the way of the stipler. I might push them. It doesn't say exactly what happened. And the stipler gave him a patch. And the father of the child was very distraught. He said, if the stipler gives my son a patch, the great holy stipler, Rob, gives my son a patch, must be something wrong with the kid. There must be something terrible, terrible wrong. How could that be? So the Reb Chaim Kanievsky saw that the father was very upset, and he wanted to calm him down. So he goes over and said, I want to tell you a story that happened to me when I was a child. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that when he was a child, he once did what he calls a maisa nairus, things that children do, and he threw a rock through a window. The problem was that the window was in the study of the Chazayin Ish. And the Chazayin Ish came out and saw him. They do this. He was a kid. He gave him a patch. And he told his sister, this was, remember, the stipler's, he told the stipler's mother, to ask him, if the Chazayin Ish gave him a patch, it's so terrible. And he said, yeah, I never did it before. So he said, she was very worried. So he said, don't worry, it's good for him. It'll be Yatz Megibra Sot Levonim. He says, "Avol Ha'isur V'Chaim V'Amr Im Zachisi Ligdol B'Tayra." If I was ever great in Tayra, the greatness in Tayra came from that patch which the Chazayin Ish gave me. That's what gave me my greatness. That patch was the Yisurim that I had that moment, sobered me and made me who I am today. And he said to the one who the stipler gave the patch, the same thing: your son from that patch could grow up to be a big Talmid Chacham. And it's a very interesting thing because there's a minig by Rebbes that they give a patch, they give a little patch that's considered a sign of love. It's not something that's painful, just a little. I remember I once got my own patch, but here's the story. I was by the in Los Angeles, the Satmar Rebbe, previous Satmar Rebbe had a tish, and he was giving out the gefilte fish. I forgot what he was giving out. And I was standing on a chair because I was trying to get the fish, and I'm reaching out and to try and get it. Balancing, there's hundreds of people, the room is packed, and I'm trying to get the fish. And he's not giving it, he's giving it to everybody around me. So I was getting very nervous. It must be that he's seeing all my averus, and he just wanted to give me a thing. Finally, the gabbai sees me, and he gives me a frask on my hand, and he goes, the rechte hand, the right hand. So I was to do it with the right hand. I had my left hand out because I was balancing with my right hand. So he put out the left. So that was my story. So I happened to be with a yid who was an older person years ago, and he told me he had a similar story with the Kleisenberger Rebbe, that also he was putting out the wrong hand because he was like, it's a tumult, and the Rebbe gave him a patch. So I said, you're bigger Bal Madrega than I am. I got a patch from the Gabbai. You got a patch from the Rebbe. that's the Madrega. You're past me. So he said that Yisurim make a person. As we have a person that undergoes bush under Yisurim that gives a person a certain mila, that's a certain, like we said, an offset to averus. So says Rav Shach, that's what Yaakov Avinu was thinking. Yaakov Avinu said, who has the most chusim for my children? So he says, the Bnei HaShvachos, it says in Rashi that why did Yosef complain to his father? It says, Fishahoyu Echa Mevasmo, because his brothers were embarrassing them. They called them servants. They call them avadim because their mothers were the shvachis. So therefore, they had the most chusim. So he put them first because they had the most chusim because of the fact that they underwent busha. Remember, one of my kids used to come home from high school every single day and say, walk in the door and say two words, busha mechaperes. Whatever happened during that day, I have a kapara because of the busha I underwent. So he says, so they had the most chusim, said Yaakov Avinu. Who had the next level of chusim? The B'nai Leah, because at least they were, you know, considered, you see how they treated the others, they were like. And who had the least chusim? Yosef. Because Yosef had his father treated him royally, he made him sign his pasim. He loved him the most, so therefore he had the least chusim, so he put him in the back. So the reason for why he put them is mom is not like you would think. You think because those by chashiv is these are the ones least chashiv, most chashiv. So no, the ones who are least chashiv have the most chusim, because they're the ones who put up with the most. The next have less chusim, and the last had the least chusim. Zezak Rav Shach, beautiful, beautiful teretz to understand why they went in that order. So when you see this pasuk on Shabbos, you'll take a look. If you're in shul, you'll hear the laning, and they'll say, "Vayosim es hashvachos v'es yaldei rishoni." He put them first. Why? Because they're the most chosim. Because they put up with the most bizyonis. V'es leiv yilad achrayim. V'es rachel v'es yosef achrayim. And after them is rachel and yosef. So therefore, we have that in him. Okay. So we asked the question before. We said, who were in these two machmas? We said there were two camps. Who was these two camps? Who was in them? Who they were? Was it half in one camp, half in the other camp? I don't know. So listen to what the Vilna Gaon says. The Vilna Gaon says that Yaakov knew in a nevuah from Rivka that he and Esau would die in the same day. Right? And they did. Right? Because it ended up when they got buried, remember? Chushim ben Don knocked his head off and the head fell and we spoke about that a few weeks ago. So he says they knew he died the same day. So listen to what the Vilna Gaon says. He says, therefore he said, I'm going to separate the machnas by one day travel. So even if I and one of the machnas gets killed, the other machna will be leflata because it's more than a day away. But the question that we asked originally was, how did he know by separating to two machnas was going to save the other machna? Maybe after Esav kills him in all of one machna, he'll go and kill the other machna. He's got 400 horsemen on horseback with all sorts of things, and they're, you know, they're ladies and with their children. They can't travel very fast. So how did he know? Says the Vilna Gaon, he separated and put him a day away. So with a day away, he knew that even if he got killed, Esav couldn't. Would have to die that day and wouldn't be around to kill the other half. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. And who was in one machna and who was in the other machna? He says, in one machna was Yaakov. That's it. Everybody else he put into the other machna. So he knew that if anything happens to him, at least everybody else will become saved. So we have two questions now. One question we're now going to deal with is, how is it that we saw that there were two machnas? There were two. He says he divided them. But then when you go back with in the second part, when he went to Esav, right in Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Aleph, take a look. He's still coming with his 400 heavily armed men. And he says, and he didn't separate them. In the end, they all went together. Right? Remember, because that was the previous Dvar Torah we said. First was the B'nai Shvachas, then the B'nai Leah, then the B'nai Rachel. So why, the question is, what happened to the two Machnas? What happened to this whole two Machna plan? Why did he drop the two Machna plan? Second question, this is a very interesting question. What happened? And he makes a chesed. How many years was it since that Esav is looking to kill him since he lost the Bechor? Did anybody make a chesed how many years it was?
It's like 20 or 24.
34.
Oh, 34.
Yeah, it says that because he went to Shem Be'Aver, and then he went to Lavan. So he was in Shem Be'Aver 14 years, and Lavan 20.
Right.
So 34 years. It's 34 years. Okay, wait, let's keep going. Hold on, we're not done. And then how many years was it from the time? So he says that's one thing he was mad at him about. And he says he was going to kill him. There's a second thing he was mad at him about. What was that? He sold the bracha. That was the bracha. I'm sorry. His first one is he sold the bechayra. He sold them to Bechira. He sold it to him. How old were they at the time? 15. So how many years was that between then and the time Yaakov started going on his journeys? 48 years. So it comes out, if you add 48 and 34, little math, we get to 82. So it was 82 years since that Esav is mad at him. That means for 82 years, Esav is sitting there going, stewing, he's steaming, he's plotting, he's planning, and especially the last 34 years since the bracha, he's really mad. Okay? And all of a sudden, he comes to Yaakov, and that's it. Gives him a big kiss and a hug and finished. What happened to 82 years of sinna? I don't know about you, but I know when people are mad at each other for that long, they don't make up overnight. They don't make up in one shot. What happened in those 82? What happened in that one time that made all the difference? Says the Pasuk. Let's take a look at a Pasuk, and then we're going to go to an important Rashi, and Rashi is going to give us the key to the answer of that. Take a look at the bottom of page 97. Vatigashna by Revi, where it says Revi, Pasuk Vav. Vatigashna shvachas heinu v'yaldeyem v'tishtach avena. So the maidservants came. Vatigash gam leya v'yaldeyem v'yishtachvu. V'achanigash Yosef v'rochel v'yishtachvu. And Yosef and Rochel come, they all bow down. V'yaymer mi l'cha kol hamachna hazer asher pagashni. So Yosef looks at him and says, where are all these people? V'yomer limso chen be'enei adoini. To find favor in my master's eyes. That's who that is. Frekt Esav Vaita Vayom Esav Yeshli Rav Achi Yihila Lecha Ashelach. You get to keep that is what is yours. It's all yours. And Rashi says, Kan Hoy Veloyal Abrachas. Here Yesav said, it's okay. He said, Esav said, fine, it's all yours. I'm asking. What happened? What happened in those few minutes? So if you remember in past Shiurim, we had a whole Dvar Torah, which we said on this, which we don't have time to go into, but we said that it says in the Pasuk, Vayishtach v'artza sheva pomim ad gishto ad ochiv. He bowed seven times until he came to his brother, to his brother. Ad gishto ad ochiv, till he got to his brother. And we said that a kamayim haponim laponim came leiv ha'adam la'adam, that how you treat somebody else, how they treat you. And Yaakov said to himself, look at Esav, Nebuch, what a rachmanis. Look at all this, he wasting his life doing all of these terrible things. I really feel bad for him. I should be more of a brother to him. And I should try and be nice to him. And therefore it says, Vayor, that says, Sheva ponim, Vayishtach v'artza, Sheva ponim, seven times, ad yishtad ochim. Why seven times? Because each time he went down, he said, oy, I feel bad for him. Oy, I feel bad for him. Ad yishto ad ochim, until he brought him back to being his brother. So when he brought him back being his brother, then Esav responded similarly. He felt the warmth, he felt the love. He felt, he loves me. So therefore, that's why he turned him around. In such a way. But let's say another pshat. It says, there's a very interesting medrash. The medrash says, what does it mean when he said, Lim sochein beinecha? And what did he mean? What was this exchange where he said, Milucha kol hamachna zesher pagashti? What is this machna? So Rashi says, Tu pshatim, who is this machna? Pasha pshat says, Rashi, is that it means, what's all these presents you sent me? Very nice, I like it, all these presents. It says, Rashi, a different pshat, is that we were talking about the kito, midrashai, if you take a look at the second line of Rashi on the top of the page, of page 98, kito shal malachim paga, he ran into sets of malachim. Shayadoich v'noi soy v'sanoshev, they were pushing Esav's men, and they were hitting them. And he said, who are you? A bunch of malachim came in the middle of the night, right, the night before he met Yaakov, and they start punching him, they start pushing him. And they said, we're Esav's men. And they said, hit him, it's Esav's men, they deserve to be hit. And they said, wait a second, leave us alone, why are you hitting us? What are you hitting us for? And what did they say? B'nai shel Yitzhaku. They said, you know, we're Esav's men, but he's Yitzhak's son. You malach, why are you hitting Yitzhak's son? They didn't listen. They didn't listen. They said, Ben Benoishel Avram. They said, we're the Anakel, he's the Anakel of Avram. How could you hit us? We work for the Anakel of Avram. They didn't law us could be. Akiv Shal Yaakov, who they said, he's Yaakov's brother. Iron Lam in K, Mishalon Avatam. They said, if that's the case, you're our guy. And we're okay. We want to have you. And that's the Pshatim. That's why Esav changes his mind. Because Esav, overnight, the Malachim came and started beating them and hitting them. And they saw that we better not start up with Yaakov. Because what was the only way they got out of it? By saying, he's Yaakov's brother. Esav's Yaakov's brother. Then the Malachim stopped hitting them. So they let him alone. So they realized that's why he turned it over. So the question is, how after 82 years did he change in one night? The answer is he didn't have much of a choice. They were beating him up. So they had to change his mind. So we have a problem. And he says, we still have a problem with this pshat. Because what does it say over here? He says, Vayomer milucha kol ha-machna zesher pagashti. Who is all this machna? And Yaakov says, to find favor in your eyes. So if you say it means all of the presents, so I understand what Yaakov says, favor in my eyes. To find favor in your eyes. But if it says, who is this machna, which means, who is this camp of Malachim who've been beating us the whole night, who've been hitting us the whole night, so what does Yaakov answer? To find favor in your eyes? What is beating? Just the opposite. If he's beating them up, it's not to find favor, it means we don't care what you think. We're beating you up. So what did he mean by saying, Limsochein be'enei adoini, to find favor in my master's eyes, if he was the Malachim were beating them up? So listen to what he says. He turns everything we thought, our whole life, on its head, and he sees it in a different direction. It says, the sin of Esav to Yaakov, why was Esav so upset about losing the brachas? Why was he so upset about it? What did he care? Didn't he know Yaakov was a big tzaddik? Didn't he know that Yaakov was a much bigger tzaddik than him? Didn't he think that what he did was, didn't he know he was a Rosh and Yaakov was a tzaddik? And when he told him the Bechira, he didn't know that Yaakov's a big tzaddik and he's a Rasha? Didn't he know that? And the answer is no. He looked at it the opposite. And here's how he writes it. She'esav ochaz b'ashkofas shoinen. Esav had a different hashkofah. V'savra ki adarabba. Dafke mishum she'yakov loymet Torah vein oisav yishuvah shaloyim. Because Yaakov's learning Torah. And he didn't go out and become a businessman. He didn't become a lawyer and a doctor and an accountant. And he's just sitting learning Torah. So he says a benkel kvetcher. He's a lady gayer. That's not what the Rebbein Shem wants in this world. He wants us all to go out to work, but he doesn't want him learning Torah. Lo megia lo abrachas. He doesn't get the brachas. Sure, Esav ha'i apikaris. Esav would not be cursed. And you say, maya hanel rabbanon. What do I need the people to learn? They're just wasting their time. They're wasting my time with this ruchnias stuff. We got a world to conquer over here. We got to do all of these things. We got to fight wars. We got to kill people. Whatever Esav wanted to do. So he looked at Yaakov in the opposite way. He looked at Yaakov as somebody who's not a good person. Not that he's a tzaddik, but he's like you said, he's a bengal kvetch, he's a lady gayer. He's not somebody worthy of our respect. Who hechzeg b'dashi Yaakov v'azvez esmana b'yoshvay ala Torah v'ala voida. He's wasting his time sitting and learning. Kvisha maskilim ha'yanoigim likra lomde Torah. Bengal kvetch is like that's where that came from, through the maskilim. Kloimer loifetze safsal. So therefore, he wasn't mashim. Therefore, he said, the bracha shouldn't go to Yaakov, the bracha should go to me. I'm the real world. Who's he? He's sitting over there in the yeshiva learning? I want to have the bracha.
Yes, but Yeshiva Satsal says that?
Yeah, they call him. That's called Benkel. He says the word Benkel Kvetcher. So he said, so along come the Malachim, and they teach Esav a lesson. And he says, and they starts hitting him and his people, and they all say, what do you mean? He's Yitzhak's son. He's Avram. He's Yaakov's brother. Oh, that's what he meant. Yaakov's the right derech. You're the wrong derech. And that's what they taught him. The Malachim said, you have it all wrong, Esav. All these years you've been wrong. Yaakov's right. And that's what he said. He says, who's this machna? Who are all these Malachim beating me up? So it comes along Yaakov and says, Limsochein b'enei adoni. So I should find favor in your eyes. You should know that I'm the right one. And I have the right derech, and you have the wrong derech. Because I'm what life is all about. Life is about Torah. Life is about mitzvahs. Life is about chesed. Life is about kindness. What you think is life, beating people up, going to war, killing people, that's life. That's not life. That's not what we're here for. To become very wealthy, if you become wealthy, you got to use it for Torah. Because Torah is the ikkar. And that's what he taught him. So he says, Limzo chen be'enei adoni, I want to find favor in your eyes. I mean, I want to find favor that you'll understand what's the right thing. Says that's what was going on over here. So there was a like a cataclysmic struggle going on. This wasn't just the way we see it in the Fleishik Eugen. You have to see behind the scenes what was Esav and what was Yaakov. And now Esav had to agree to Yaakov. So he says, he brings an interesting story at the end to show how you have to deal with Yaakov, how you have to deal with Esav. So he tells two quick stories. One is a mashal, and one's a real story. First is the mashal. He says there was a man who went into a bank to withdraw 20,000 shekel from the bank. And they told him, your account's overdrawn by 100,000 shekel. I'm sorry, sir, you can't take any more money out. You're already overdrawn. The guy says, I don't care. I want my money. I want to get my money out. So the banker says, you can't do it. I still want it. So they call in the supervisor. So the supervisor says, you know, you can't draw your money out. You're overdrawn. He says, I don't care. I want to. In the meantime, there's a line of 20 people lined up waiting behind him, and they're all getting furious, and they see what's going on. This guy obviously can't do it. So one guy goes over and he gives him a frask and a pisk, and he says, go away. So the guy gets up and immediately walks away. So he said, what happened? The bank officer told this to you 5 times. So he says, he said it to me. The other one explained it to me. He explained it in the way this guy understands. So he tells the story. He says, the story from the Zvi Hirsch Brody. Reb Hirsch Brody was the son-in-law of the Alter from Kelm. And it's brought in the Sefer Lev Aryeh. And one time the Tsar Nikolai came to the town where they were at. So the Tsar came in, and the whole city, of course, comes to the train station. The Tsar is coming. I remember Fallo of the Shalom told me the Tsar once came to the city, was, and he was a kid, he was in the back of the crowd. But he says it was an amazing thing. The Tsar comes, it's like, you know, hundreds of the whole city comes. The whole city comes out to greet him. They better, you know, especially Tsar Nikolai, you better come. To, so they're all there. So they get there, and one of the officials gets up, and he says, the Tsar is tired. We'd like to respectfully ask everybody to please go back to their house for an hour and come back in an hour. And they're all, you know, yelling, long live the king, long live the king. They're throwing banners. They're, you know, they don't listen. So he says it louder. They don't listen. So a third time, a different Tsar comes and says it. Nothing. Finally, one of the younger, you know, lower level officers gets up. This is so relevant. He says, clove him. You tunts, you dogs. You didn't hear what was said to you? If you don't get away right away, I'm going to have the soldiers kill you all. A minute later, they all get up and they walk away. So the other one says, what? How did you do it? He said, I spoke them a language. They understand. So he says, that's what Esav was. Esav did, as long as Yaakov was talking about all the frum and raid, and he was telling him hashkof, and he was telling him all these beautiful things, Esav, it wasn't him. The Malachim came, started beating him. Then he understood. And then he was able to listen. So therefore, that's what Rashi says. One pshat is, he says, who's the machna? It's all of these people. And the second pshat is, who's the machna? Not the gifts, but the machna, these Malachim hitting me. And Malachim hitting me, 82 years of getting it wrong, I suddenly got the message because of the way that it came out. So we just end with what we said at the beginning, that we talked about the Sulamutz of Arza, and we mentioned from Dayan Abraham that we asked the question that when you go up the ladder, it says the Malachim in last week said we're going up the ladder. So you go up a ladder, if you've ever been on a ladder, you go one step at a time. It said, but the Malachim have wings. They have 6 wings. I think they have 4, Lost and Lovo. They're going to have 4 the other way around. But they have wings. Why can't they just fly? And he said, when it comes to ruchnius, when it comes to growing in spirituality, you have to go one rung at a time. You can't fly. Don't think you're going to get there. You're just going to make a decision. Overnight, you're going to get it all. And the truth is, that's true of all endeavors. Anything you want to do, you have to do one step at a time. And that's what Yaakov Avinu was doing. Yaakov Avinu was moving through life one step at a time. He had a fascinating life. There's so much we can learn from everything that Yaakov did. And Yitzhak Hashem, we will continue to learn from him in the weeks to come. He has the most sedras. It's about Yaakov. So we'll spend a lot of time with Yaakov and then Yitzhak with the Shvatim. Thank you very much. Welcome back, everybody, in today's share. As we said,